Welcome to Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. We just want you to know about it because many of you are into the arts and you are supporting us and we are so grateful for it. Well, tonight we're going to start out with Crooners. Crooners has long been a world-class music venue, recognized as one of the top jazz clubs in the world. But now it will add Coolest Comedy Club to its list of props as it hosts the first annual Loons on the Lake Comedy Festival on June 21st through the 24th with four special guests, A-list comics, and 14 comedy shows on three different stages. I mean, this is a really big deal. Oh, and by the way, your dinner is going to be outrageous, fabulous. It will be available for every show. Plus, there's a $10,000 comedy competition with 40 comedians from across the country vying for the title. Well, joining us to talk more about it is Randy Lubas. He's producer of the first annual Loons on the Lake Comedy Festival. And we are so happy to have you join us. Thank you, Randy. Welcome.
Thank you, Geraldine. Oh, man, boy, you gave it everything we needed right there.
Not everything we needed. No, no. We want to hear more about this list of comedians.
Yeah, well, you hit the bullet points, absolutely. We've got four amazing headliners, starting with Erica Rhodes, whose career is on fire. She's just been doing some guest starring appearances on shows like Veep. And she's actually from Minnesota. So that's kind of a little bringing back a hometown hero. And
right.
That's on the 21st. And then on the 22nd, Jamie Kennedy, who rose to stardom from his iconic role in the movie Scream and Scream 2. And then he had his own show. It was like a hidden camera show, the Jamie Kennedy Experiment. And now he's one of the top touring comedians in the country. So he's going to be there on Thursday, the 22nd. And then comedy legend Jimmy Walker,
Dynamite.
Yes, Dynamite. Jimmy Walker will be there on Friday. I'm excited to see Jimmy again. He and I have worked together in Las Vegas, and it'll be fun to see him again. And that, of course, is Friday, the 23rd. And then rounding it out is Saturday night's show with Don McMillan, who was on America's Got Talent, and he's the only engineer comedian working in PowerPoint. His entire show is on PowerPoint, and he has been selling out. His show is sold out. He's been selling out all across the country since his appearances on America's Got Talent. And so those are the celebrity stars of the festival. But like you mentioned, I looked at over 200 video submissions to choose the 40 top entries to get into the comedy competition, and they come in every shape and size you can imagine. So it is going to be really, really fun. The preliminary rounds, each comedian does 8 minutes, and two move on to the semifinals. And then the semifinals are on Friday, where 10 comedians will do another 8 minutes, eight different minutes. And then on Saturday, that's when the big money is going to be handed out. Five comedians will be left, and they will each do 15 minutes of material, and one of them was going to take home $10,000.
That's amazing. First of all, I want to say congratulations to you because you helped make this really big. In fact, you are the producer of this event and a distinguished comedian yourself, talent manager and entrepreneur who produced the Ventura Comedy Festival for 9 years and 100 episodes of West Coast comedy. The Loons on the Lake Comedy Festival will make Fridley a world-class comedy destination, and you really had a lot to do with that. So congratulations. First of all, it is so difficult to get people to laugh at jokes. You know, some people will say, oh, it's so easy. I've never heard a comedian say, it's easy. Do you agree?
Well, you know, I can tell you this. Doing stand-up comedy is the most exhilarating thing you will ever do. And it is quite addictive. And once you get that first laugh, boy, you never want to stop. So it is one of the most difficult things you can try to do, but it is also one of the most exciting and exhilarating.
I tried it. I was miserable. It was awful.
You?
No, seriously.
You know what?
I laughed through the whole thing because I couldn't do anything else but laugh. Yeah, and it was a small comedy spot, right? And I loved watching other comedians, but I sucked, seriously. So what you do, you know, and what Erica Rhodes and all of the other guests that are coming, what they are doing, it really matters, because what we need right now is joy.
Oh, my goodness. We need more laughter in this world now more than ever. And that's why I'm just so excited that putting this together. And by the way, Mary, the owner of Crooners, has just been unbelievable. And she's just a wonderful, wonderful person to have partnered with, and so supportive, and sees the vision in this, and hopes that this can be a really wonderful repeating annual event. And I'm excited and hope that it can. I really want people to get out there for the comedy competition, because that's the way the whole festival will build excitement and especially support. Comics are coming from all over North America to be there. And so I just hope folks come out and support those shows and kind of feel like you're part of, you know, America's Got Talent or American Idol, you know, because the audience plays a part in how the judges will vote.
Right. And who are the judges?
Well, I've got some amazing people coming. I have got a casting director who is one of the casting coordinators on America's Got Talent.
Wow.
She's going to be the Nyla Durrani is going to be there. We've got Allison Kahn, who not only is a casting director in New York who casts animation and different things for the Comedy Central, but she also helps cast the New Faces Showcase at the world-renowned LOL Comedy Festival in Montreal. It's probably the most prestigious comedy festival in the world. And people get huge deals from that New Faces Showcase. So these comics are going to get an opportunity to get to perform in front of her. I've got the executive of entertainment from Carnival Cruises, Lizette Garcia, will be there. And Russ Rivas, who is owns an entertainment company. He books cruises and he books all sorts of corporate events. And another cruise ship agent, Suzanne Bartels. They will all be there as judges. And there will be industry panels for these comedians to learn and do questions and answers with the judges, so they can, you know, advance their careers and learn whatever they can.
Wow, this gathering is really important. It's important for Minnesota and beyond. And I am so excited for all the guests that are coming, all of the comedians that are coming, as well as those that are buying their tickets. And of course, tickets right now are ranging from $20 for the comedy competition, to preferred seating from $25 and $35 to private booths that are about $120 to $140 for individual celebrity comic shows. And they are available at the website loonsonthelake.com.
Yes,
loonsonthelake.com, and can be purchised individually.
We were searching for a name for the festival, and they said to me, the loon is the state bird of Minnesota.
Yeah.
And I said, wow, that's perfect, isn't it? And
yeah, but you know better, Randy. Come on. You could have gave it a different name, but I'm telling you, we will all have a good time with that, because Minnesotans know what that really means, and it's just powerful. So I'm excited that it's called the Loons on Lake Comedy, Loons on the Lake Comedy Festival. So here we are. We know that this is happening. If people want any other information, oh, and by the way, I understand that you can purchase an all-access pass. Is that correct?
Yeah, if you want to, you know, enjoy the whole festival, get an all-access pass, you'll get a souvenir T-shirt and be able to go to all the shows and watch. You know, the fun thing will be is if you watch a few of these preliminary rounds of the competition, then you'll probably find a favorite comic that you really like, and then you can watch them go to the semifinals and hopefully to the finals and kind of root them on and, you know, get involved in the whole excitement of it and, the huge build up to the award.
Well, I'm excited about it. And the start times vary. They vary between 7 and 8:30, correct?
Yeah. The only exception to that, we've got a comedy improv show, which is a matinee with some wonderful improv artists from right there in Minneapolis. And that's going to be at 2 o'clock on Saturday. And then we have one 9 o'clock show, and that will be Friday. And we've got two all-star showcases of other comedians. Each of those has about 14 comedians on it doing 6-minute shows. and it's going to be, you know, all in all, there's going to be over 70 comedians participating in the entire festival. So it's,
oh, it's
just
so,
so
impressive.
Much fun.
Yeah, it's so much fun. I can't wait. I'm going to try my best to be at all of them. I don't know if I can, but I'm going to try, Randy. And thank you so much for joining us tonight and really giving us how this all came together and what it's all about and who these comedians are. I can't wait to meet you. Are you going to be at all of them? At all of the shows?
I will. I'll be coming in for the whole week, and I'll be there, and I'll be performing on several of the shows as well.
Oh, I will definitely look for you. Thank you so much, Randy. Take care of yourself, and we'll see you on June, what is it, the 21st is the first show.
21st.
I'll be there.
Yeah, Gerald, thank you so much. I appreciate your support of this. It's fantastic, and I really look forward to meeting you.
You too, Randy. Take care. All right, everyone.
Okay.
Coming up next is Jim Walsh. You don't want to miss it. If you want to know what this song is all about, it's, first of all, it's called Stand on Every Corner. And joining us to talk about it is Jim Walsh, local musician and songwriter. You might have remembered him. He's been around for a very long time, listening to the music of so many musicians, singers, and even more, even the Steels. Oh, my gosh. Jim, it is so great to have you join us tonight. How are you?
Great to hear your voice, Jerrellen. Hi, how are you?
I am doing well. My goodness, you are getting it done. I love that you are still at it. And you now have a band called the Dog Day Cicadas.
Indeed, yes. buddies of mine and great musicians, and we made a record this year, and we've been playing out, and I love the songs. New songs kind of coming every month, I would say now, and but yeah, it's a 5-song EP that we did. It's called Shout It Out to You. And, that tune right there is a song called, Stand on Every Corner. And it was inspired by this movement that happened in South Minneapolis. These people just at the dawn of the, Trump administration, putting kids in cages at the border, at the corner of, you know, Portland and Diamond Lake Road here in Minneapolis, every night these families and other citizens would hold up signs and, you know, fight for the rights of these kids and just, you know, trying to talk sense into motorists as they cruise by. And I was very moved by that. And so I wrote an anthemic anthem for that moment. Yeah, for sure.
Beautiful. Stand on Every Corner, that song. You are not just a journalist that many of us know, but you're an author as well. The former leader of REM's Laughing Stock, The Mad Ripple, and The Mad Ripple Hootenanny. But you have recently reemerged with your new band called, as I mentioned before, The Dog Day Cicadas. I love that title, by the way. And you released this feel-good EP featuring the Jayhawksiness of the kind of that mix of roots rock and Americana, that sort of thing. Just, you know, coming right on time here for the summer. This is some of the stuff we need. It's peaceful. It kind of makes you smile and dance a little bit. When you decided to do this, is this your first album?
It's not. As you said, Laughing Cycle was my first band many years ago in the 80s. And we put out a cassette and an album, vinyl. And then the Mad Ripple recorded a CD, and two CDs. And this is the Dog Day Cicadas' second release. I also wrote a song in the wake of the George Floyd murder, called Folk Song for George Floyd, and my buddy Dan Kowalki helped me with that. And I got a shout out to the Belfast Cowboys, who absolutely lit the Lake Harriet band shell on stage last night, as 7,000 people can attest to. So,
My goodness.
Summer is here, and outdoor music is here, and the Dog Day Cicadas, we're playing at Waterworks on July 7th at noon. So come on down, Gerilyn. We could use your vocals, please.
And that's happening. Yeah, see, there you go. Don't make me. I might jump up on stage. And this is happening on July 7th, and it's at 12 p.m., correct? At Waterworks Park?
Exactly.
Awesome.
And there's all sorts of, you know, outdoor music, thanks to the God love the Minneapolis Park and Rec. So
you're also doing the Twin Cities. I'm sorry to interrupt you. You're also doing the Twin Cities Songwriter Rounds at 331 Club. And if I'm not mistaken, that's at 9 p.m. Is it open to the public?
Yes, indeed. It's
awesome.
It's great. It's original songwriters getting together on stage, and very much like the Nashville Song Swaps or the Madrigal Hootenanny of yore. And yeah, it's great together with songwriters when you get them together and you play a tune for a fellow songwriter, and your hearts open more, and a real chemistry and kind of one night only vibe takes hold, more so than maybe other live music experiences. And I'm thrilled. Taylor James Donsky has been hosting the Twin Cities Songwriter Rounds or Minneapolis Songwriter Rounds for a while. And Wednesday night, 331, it's going to launch at 9. So.
Oh, it is so important. There's so many great performers that are really starting to write some great music. And I love that you're paying attention to it, making sure that it continues so that they can also have an opportunity. Thank you, Jim. It's so great to hear your voice, dude. It's been a long time.
Thank you, Jalen. Much appreciated.
Take care of yourself. All right. Don't be surprised you see me walk in the door. All right.
Wonderful.
Take care.
Cheers.
Bye.
Take care.
All right, everyone, we have our final guest that's happening, and we're going to take a break for a moment, and that's going to happen at 9:33, so don't go anywhere. Oh, my goodness, I am so excited to have one of my friends to join us. He used to be on all the time with us, and then he let me go. I don't know why, but he's joining us tonight. I'm just kidding, Rohan, I'm just kidding. But he is joining us now. He is the lead theater critic for the Star Tribune, and oh, how I love having him on. Hey, dude, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing so much better, man. I'm doing great and excited about the world and everything that, you know, the possibilities of what could happen. And, you know what that means when you're looking for more and you just find it and you just get so excited about it. I'm just thrilled. And so I have so many questions for you tonight, so we better get started. I'm really curious because you've been so busy traveling all over the place. You go to New York a lot. You go home where you were born and raised and so much more. You are always involved, particularly in theater, in so many ways. And I'm just curious to know how you feel about the state of theater today.
Well, you know, that's a great question. I put it in the longest terms possible, which is that over the last 2,500 years, from the Greeks onward, theater has been around, has been resilient, has been here. And, you know, coming out of this crisis, mostly the pandemic, but also a reckoning, trying to figure out what are the issues and how the field could become more responsive, more representative, just more attuned to community. I'm optimistic. I think they in the Twin Cities here, there are definitely challenges. People are slow to come back in some places, and other places are doing well. The biggest success is Theater La Teda. All of their shows have been very strong and hits. But other theaters are struggling, and you know, Park Square has been struggling. They've canceled their season, the rest of their season. And Artistry in Bloomington is bouncing back after also having to cancel some shows. So it's a mixed bag. Guthrie's doing well. Penumbra, I think, is doing well as well. And The Jungle, 10,000 Things. Mixed Blood is having a new sort of transitional season as well. So it's doing Theater Without Walls, which is to say theater in the community under a new leader, Mark Valdez. And so there's no one word that describes it. It's just eclectic, and I'm hopeful in all of it because I think the artists in the field are so talented and resilient that I'm hopeful for the field to emerge triumphant and thriving.
you know?
I completely believe it. I completely believe it. There are just so many people that, you know, are looking for it. It's like a taste of something that you crave. You know, after a while you say, oh, you know, I haven't been to theater in 6 months. And then all of a sudden your whole body, your mind, your spirit just goes, okay, so what's your problem? That's right. How important right. theater is to me. And so I wanted to ask you about the importance of theater, especially when it comes to plays versus musicals. Now, I know that here in Minnesota, a lot of people go to see the shows, no matter if it's a musical or if it's a play. But even on Broadway, we know today that usually there are more shows that are musicals than there are plays. Why is that?
Well, you know, I don't have a definitive answer, but I can have some guesses. I think with a musical, as with music, you know, people can play a song over and over and over again. And I think people go to musicals in a similar fashion. You know, there are people who saw Phantom of the Opera on Broadway hundreds of times, right?
Right.
So I think, and the other part of that is the longevity. The Michael Jackson musical, MJ, the musical, has paid back its investors, and it's all his music. And people who can listen to that music, who love that music, can listen to it over and over again. When I went to New York and I saw that production, the people sitting behind me had flown in from Japan to see it. People sitting next to us were in from Sweden. And, wow. You know, so it's like, it was astonishing. They had made this big trip from all across the world to come hear this music and see the recreation of a concert or a planned concert.
Was it better than you thought it was?
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, one of the things for me that's incredible, and I asked how they did it, I didn't know if I got a good explanation, but the sound, it sounds just like the recording. It sounds like just like being in the studio listening to, you know, all those songs, whether it's Billie Jean or Gotta Be Starting Something or whatever it is. And for me, that was like, how do they do that? How do they, you know, it's really, really remarkable. But I think the thing about musicals is that they have the staying power that songs and music do for us. You know, they have this sort of resonance. I remember many years ago, I 2009 was when the Guthrie put on Caroline or Change, and I was listening to that album, the Broadway version of a particular song, and I had that album on repeat one Saturday while I did my chores. And so from like 9 in the morning till the afternoon, I listened to that thing over and over and over again, and it was so wonderful, you know.
The playwright was Kushner, wasn't it?
Tony Kushner, and Jeanine Tesori was the composer, and it was really remarkable. But it's a testament to what you're saying. Now, there are plays that people can see over and over again. They don't have the same opportunities because the runs for a musical, you know, Phantom can be over a few decades. And a play has a more limited run, usually months at the most. You know, it's often weeks. You know what I mean?
Right,
so
yeah.
So that's something. But music speaks to us in different ways, and you know, of course, we are blessed in this community because we, in addition to La Teda, we have Chan Hassan Dinner Theaters. Artistry is back on its feet. We have original musicals being produced by the Ordway Center. We have out in Excelsior, the Old Log. So there, and we have some MMT. We have some smaller companies that do musicals as well. So it's really a rich community. And I have to say, to brag on Minnesota for a little bit, people who come here from New York, who perform in New York, always compliment the range of things that we have on offer.
It's so true.
You know, it is. It's just a wide range. You think of the children's theater. They do wonderful musicals there. An American Tale is there right now. You think of you think of Theater Moo, which also has done musicals. You think of the Jungle. You think of all these companies that are almost like flagships, you know, in their area, in their fields. And it's really to our credit, the feather in our cap, as it were. Here.
Well, give us more feathers in our caps, because what we have here in Minnesota is remarkable. And we hear other states, people that come here from all over the country, they always say it. Minnesota is, especially the Twin Cities, they say it. It's just remarkable, the art and those that work in these ways, in plays and musicals. I mean, it's just, I am so honored to be in the company of this greatness that we have here in Minnesota. So I am curious, though, about plays. I, you know, I used to watch plays all the time. If it was something coming on television, I would watch it. I would go to theaters to watch plays. And, you know, it appears that even on Broadway, they have 33 plays on Broadway right now. But how many shows overall do they have on Broadway? Not just plays, but also musicals.
Well, I think, you know, the total number of theaters on Broadway, I think we're in the low 40s, it may fit 40, 41 companies. And so that's all of them. I haven't looked to see. Generally, there's not as many plays because, you know, once the shows are have a long run, like Chicago is on Broadway, right? And that's been running forever. You know, and then you have things like Hades Town. That's, you know, you have a lot of new shows as well. But the plays generally, even when there are a lot of them, they run for a very short time. So they turn over. Of course, I mean, we talk about Broadway. Broadway.
Oh, my goodness. I am so excited to have one of my friends to join us. He used to be on all the time with us, and then he let me go. I don't know why, but he's joining us tonight. I'm just kidding, Rohan. I'm just kidding. But he is joining us now. He is the lead theater critic for the Star Tribune. And oh, how I love having him on. Hey, dude, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing so much better, man. I'm doing great and excited about the world and everything that, you know, the possibilities of what could happen. And, you know what that means when you're looking for more and you just find it and you just get so excited about it. I'm just thrilled. And so I have so many questions for you tonight, so we better get started. I'm really curious because you've been so busy traveling all over the place. You go to New York a lot. You go home where you were born and raised and so much more. You are always involved, particularly in theater, in so many ways. And I'm just curious to know how you feel about the state of theater today.
Well, you know, that's a great question. I put it in the longest terms possible, which is that over the last 2,500 years, from the Greeks onward, theater has been around, has been resilient, has been here. And, you know, coming out of this crisis, mostly the pandemic, but also a reckoning, trying to figure out what are the issues and how the field could become more responsive, more representative, just more attuned to community. You know, I'm optimistic. I think they in the Twin Cities here, there are definitely challenges. People are slow to come back in some places, and other places are doing well. The biggest success is Theater La Teda. All of their shows have been very strong and hits. But other theaters are struggling, and, you know, Park Square has been struggling. They've canceled their season, the rest of their season. And Artistry in Bloomington is bouncing back after also having to cancel some shows. So it's a mixed bag. Guthrie's doing well. Penumbra, I think, is doing well as well. And The Jungle, the 10,000 Things. Mixed Blood is having a new sort of transitional.
Right.
Then as well. So it's doing Theater Without Walls, which is to say theater in the community under a new leader, Mark Valdez. And so it's very, there's no one word that describes it. It's just eclectic. And I'm hopeful in all of it because I think the artists in the field are so talented and resilient that I'm hopeful for the field to emerge triumphant and thriving, you know?
I completely believe it. I completely believe it. There are just so many people that, you know, are looking for it. It's like a taste of something that you crave. You know, after a while you say, oh, you know, I haven't been to theater in 6 months. And then all of a sudden your whole body, your mind, your spirit just goes, okay, so what's your problem? That's
right.
How important
right.
theater is to me. And so I wanted to ask you about the importance of theater, especially when it comes to plays versus musicals. Now, I know that here in Minnesota, a lot of people go to see the shows, no matter if it's a musical or if it's a play. But even on Broadway, we know today that usually there are more shows that are musicals than there are plays. Why is that?
Well, you know, I don't have a definitive answer, but I can have some guesses. I think with a musical, as with music, you know, people can play a song over and over and over again. And I think people go to musicals in a similar fashion. You know, there are people who saw Phantom of the Opera on Broadway hundreds of times, right?
Right.
So I think, and the other part of that is the longevity. The Michael Jackson musical, MJ, the musical, has paid back its investors, and it's all his music. And people who can listen to that music, who love that music, can listen to it over and over again. When I went to New York and I saw that production, the people sitting behind me had flown in from Japan to see it. People sitting next to us were in from Sweden. And, wow. You know, so it's like, it was astonishing. They had made this big trip from all across the world to come hear this music and see the recreation of a concert or a planned concert.
Was it better than you thought it was?
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, one of the things for me that's incredible, and I asked how they did it, I didn't know if I got a good explanation, but the sound, it sounds just like the recording. It sounds like just like being in the studio listening to, you know, all those songs, whether it's Billie Jean or Gotta Be Starting Something or whatever it is. And for me, that was like, how do they do that? How do they, you know, it's really, really remarkable. But I think the thing about musicals is that they have the staying power that songs and music do for us. You know, they have this sort of resonance. I remember many years ago, I 2009 was when the Guthrie put on Caroline or Change, and I was listening to that album, the Broadway version of a particular song, and I had that album on repeat one Saturday while I did my chores. And so from like 9 in the morning till the afternoon, I listened to that thing over and over and over again, and it was so wonderful, you know.
The playwright was Kushner, wasn't it?
Yes. Tony Kushner and Janine Tesori was the composer. And it was really remarkable, but it's a testament to what you're saying. Now, there are plays that people can see over and over again. They don't have the same opportunities because the runs for a musical, you know, Phantom can be over a few decades. And a play has a more limited run usually, months at the most, you know, it's often weeks, you know what I mean?
Right,
so
yeah.
So that's something, but music speaks to us in different ways. And you know, of course, we are blessed in this community because we, in addition to La Te Da, we have Chan Hassan Dinner Theaters, artistry is back on its feet. We have original musicals being produced by the Ordway Center. We have out in Excelsior, the Old Log. So there, and we have some MMT. We have some smaller companies that do musicals as well. So it's really a rich community. And I have to say, to brag on Minnesota for a little bit, people who come here from New York, who perform in New York, always compliment the range of things that we have on offer.
It's so true.
You know, it is. It's just a wide range. You think of the children's theater. They do wonderful musicals there. An American Tale is there right now. You think of you think of Theater Moo, which also has done musicals. You think of the Jungle. You think of all these companies that are almost like flagships, you know, in their area, in their fields. And it's really to our credit, the feather in our cap, as it were. Here.
Well, give us more feathers in our caps, because what we have here in Minnesota is remarkable. And we hear other states, people that come here from all over the country, they always say it. Minnesota is, especially the Twin Cities, they say it. It's just remarkable, the art and those that work in these ways, in plays and musicals. I mean, it's just, I am so honored to be in the company of this greatness that we have here in Minnesota. So I am curious, though, about plays. I used to watch plays all the time. If it was mm-hmm. something coming on television, I would watch it. I would go to theaters to watch plays. And, you know, it appears that even on Broadway, they have 33 plays on Broadway right now. But how many shows overall do they have on Broadway? Not just plays, but also musicals.
Well, I think, you know, the total number of theaters on Broadway, I think we're in the low 40s, you may fit 40, 41 companies. And so that's all of them. I haven't looked to see. Generally, there's not as many plays because, you know, once the shows have a long run, like Chicago is on Broadway, right? And that's been running forever. You know, and then you have things like Hades Town. That's, you know, you have a lot of new shows as well. But the plays generally, even when there are a lot of them, they run for a very short time. So they turn over. Of course, I mean, we talk about Broadway. Broadway is a commercial pursuit, and it's, you know, literally all about the money. The artistry has to be top class, top notch, but it's, you know, it's not for the sake of theater per se. You know, it really is profit driven, and we're grateful for the great art that comes out of it. But you know, I like to say when I'm sitting in a Broadway theater that it's definitely flying coach. those seats are tight, and you know,
right.
When you go to the Orpheum here or the Guthrie here, the seats are much more comfortable. For example, I'm being petty a little bit, but it's, you know,
encourage them to do better with these seats, because it's the truth. I don't care how skinny you are or how large you are. The bottom line is those seats, particularly at the Orpheum. Oh my God. It's like a clamp around your hips.
But you know? Think about Broadway compared to that. You know what I mean? It's even tighter.
Even tighter. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I saw Cats. The first time I went to see a show on Broadway, I saw Cats. The second time I went to go see a show at Broadway was Gospel at Colonus, watching my family on stage on Broadway. That was just a huge, big thing. And then the last one I've seen, the next one after that was Come From Away. I loved that piece. Absolutely loved it. And then the last one I saw was the Neil Diamond show, A Beautiful Noise. And I saw that last December. And I am telling you, I have been touched by the spark of theater. I just want to see it all. I want to see the plays. I want to see the musicals. But musicals seem to be the thing I am most interested in until all of a sudden I see a play and I go, wow, that was amazing. So I encourage people to just go for it.
I do, too. And, you know, I date myself a little bit. There used to be a commercial called Calgon, Take Me Away.
Yes.
And I tell people, like, go and just, like, you know, just sort of let it take you wherever. Don't impose anything, like, I want this, this, and this. And it's like, let's see where it takes you. And sometimes you can be astonished, as Tyrone Guthrie famously wanted his actors to do, you know, just astonish me in the morning. And you could be astonished by what you see. And sometimes, you know, you're disappointed as well. I'm not saying to not to have any expectations, but just hope that, you know, be open to the fact that you could see the best thing that you've ever seen in your life, even if you've seen some great, great shows. And that's one of the things I try to live by, you know. I've seen some really terrific productions of shows over the years, and I live with the hope that they can all be surpassed. And so I stay open to that, you know. And by the way, before I forget, the Guthrie has Murder on the Orient Express as its summer murder mystery comedy, and it's a hoot. It's a very, very funny production.
I believe that. It's a lead theater critic here in the great state of Minnesota with the Star Tribune. I can imagine that you've heard about so many new pieces that are being written, pieces that are going up. And I wondered, do you think to yourself, that piece should come to the Twin Cities? I mean, do you ever say to yourself, who do I have to talk to make sure that that piece comes?
All the time. And it's a complicated dance how that works, because for one thing, all the playwrights and producers hope that the pieces come to the biggest theaters, and you know, that's the Guthrie, and then the Guthrie has been generous, so it like helps other theaters to get rights rather than say, hey, we're not going to hold on to this, or we're not going to, you know, do this. I mean, it's a really complicated thing about how the ecology works. And it's, you know, the children's theater, it's the same way. Sometimes, you know, people want the children's theater and it may not be able to do it anytime soon because the companies themselves book 2-3 years in advance.
Right.
You know, they're dealing with stuff and they don't have the level of flexibility and the nimbleness. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. And so it's a really, really complicated dance. So the whole ecology is working together. So the Guthrie is working with the children's theater, is working with, you know, Penumbra, is working with, and it doesn't necessarily mean all the time that they're collaborative, but just means that they are in the same, they're swimming in the same sea and they can assist each other and sometimes they don't. But, you know, that's fine too. I mean, these are independent entities as well. So it's a really fascinating thing about how that works, the inside of all of that, the business aspect of it. Of course, we as audience members, we just want to see the great things on stage.
Yeah, exactly. I do want to mention, though, these plays are being written by some even younger people. I look at Lin-Manuel, and I am just in awe of what he does. It's just remarkable. He's done so many pieces for television, for Disney, you name it. He is always writing. I find he's prolific in it, and I find that exciting, right? And I keep saying to myself, when are we going to know the next piece? He probably has 15 more pieces to put out there, right? But do you know if there's a new one coming out soon?
I don't. But, you know, he did contribute. I was in New York recently, a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. And he did contribute to a show called New York, New York.
Really?
Yeah, he consulted with that show. And I saw it early. I saw it and, you know, I don't want to give it away. It has a spectacular spectacular ending. It's a beautiful ending. And I didn't see his fingerprints on that show. I couldn't tell what was, you know, what he's famously a part of the creative team for that show. But you're right. I mean, he's working in TV, is working on movies, and he's doing theater, of course, and can't wait to see what greatness still, you know, comes from his mind, you know?
Well, it's amazing because he has Tony Awards, Grammy Awards. He even was nominated for a Pulitzer Prize. I mean, my goodness, this man is remarkable. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to do next. Even my grandchildren absolutely love every one of his films, you know. haven't watched Hamilton. Yeah. That's the only one. They haven't watched the play Hamilton. But all the other movies, oh, just love it. I just bought my granddaughter The Cantante, I think it's called. What's the name of that movie? Good Lord, that he wrote.
It was
beautiful.
I think, is that how you pronounce it?
But I'm not sure. but it's just a beautiful piece, and my granddaughters just love it. Love it. So I'm always excited when we hear about a new playwright. And I'm just curious, as my last question, sir, are there new people today, or are there people today that are rising up to be playwrights, rising up to write musicals right now that we don't know about? I bet you know.
And part of the thing, this process, right, of creating and crafting a musical is so involved and so complicated, and requires so many iterations. I like to look back on Lin-Manuel, and when he first at the White House mentioned during the Obama administration that he was working on this musical, rap musical about Alexander Hamilton, people did? They laughed.
Mm.
They all laughed, and he's like, that's all right, because, you know, and so the process is so involved, and it takes such a long time, but it's rewarding, because you have to refine that work. You have to go through all the stages that you go through, which is like, you know, this is brilliant, and then, oh, this is garbage.
yeah, exactly. But at the same time, it's adjusting to your soul, you know, because writing is all about the soul, right? You have to write from your heart for it to really reach out to people. I really do believe that.
It is. And, you know, I like to quote August Wilson here, the great playwright. And he's like, no one demanded Shakespeare write those plays. He wrote them from something, being compelled to write those plays. And Wilson said, I'm doing the same thing. No one is demanding that I write these plays. I'm writing them for, and so when I get stuff that's like, these are too long, they're repetitive, whatever they say, it's okay, because I'm writing the greatest play that I think I can write, and I'm putting it out there.
Well, I'm grateful that you're putting it out there. We need someone out there that is watching and listening. And we're blessed in Minnesota to get the information, right, to know that there are pieces that have started right here in the great state
absolutely.
Of Minnesota, like Lyon.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so when you know that, then you know we've really got something special. So there we go. I know it's time for me to let go of you, and I don't want to, because there's so much more to tell. You should see all the questions I have. But seriously, I just love being on with you. Thank you so much for taking the time to being a part of this hour.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And we'll be back again soon. So thank you. And by the way, it was Encanto.
Encanto.
Encanto. Yeah.
You would do it at the last minute. Thanks. Appreciate that. Take care of yourself. You take care, man.
All right,
everyone. Bye-bye. We are wrapping up this hour, and it has been a pleasure being here with you. We'll be back, I think, Jonathan, in just a moment. So what have we learned, everyone that has listened tonight? What have we learned? I learned that Executive Director Eric Misselt of Minnesota Peace Officer Standards and Training, I learned what it's all about and why that board is so important. I learned from David Schultz, political science professor at Hamline University, when we talked about the debt ceiling and why we have it. In the 9 o'clock hour, I learned from Randy Lubas about this amazing first annual Loons on the Lake Comedy Festival happening at Crooner's in Fritley on June 21st through the 24th. I also talked with Jim Walsh, local musician and songwriter. I didn't even know he was doing all of that. It was good to reconnect with him. And then at 9:33, my friend Rohan Preston and I talked about Broadway and how important it is to have plays and musicals. It's been a pleasure. Thank you all for sticking and staying and listening. Good night. So what have we learned, everyone, that has listened tonight? What have we learned? I learned that Executive Director Eric Misselt of Minnesota Peace Officer Standards and Training, I learned what it's all about and why that board is so important. I learned from David Schultz, political science professor at Hamline University, when we talked about the debt ceiling and why we have it. In the 9 o'clock hour, I learned from Randy Lubas about this amazing first annual Loons on the Lake Comedy Festival happening at Crooner's in Fritley on June 21st through the 24th. I also talked with Jim Walsh, local musician and songwriter. I didn't even know he was doing all of that. It was good to reconnect with him. And then at 9:33, my friend Rohan Preston and I talked about Broadway and how important it is to have plays and musicals. It's been a pleasure. Thank you all for sticking and staying and listening. Good night.